and quickly. Right, I need a warning first before we crack on with this. Friday evening, Sue and I went to see Julius Caesar, Shakespeare play. So if I suddenly become all thespian, you'll understand why. Please, somebody come and slap me. If I suddenly come out with a phrase like friends, Brixworthians, countrymen, just get up and walk out. But hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully I won't slip into any thespianism. But the subject that that I've been given to preach on today is it the 8th or 6th? I can't remember which number it is now, but I'll tell you later. Of 8th. Thank you, Alan. See, I knew Alan would join in because he likes people to join in. The 8th commandment, which is... Oh, I haven't got a button to press. Have I? Thank you very much. That's how prepared I am. I forgot to... Which is Exodus 20:15, and it is a very long verse, if we can read it together. Thou shalt not steal. So I've got 20 minutes. That means 5 minutes per word to preach on. But I could have, when looking at this passage, I could have gone through the Bible and found various different phrases and passages that talk about stealing. Here's one in Proverbs. It says, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. And here's another one, better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. Oh, that should have come up. And then this third one from Ephesians says this, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. But let's face it, I'm fairly confident that in this room, if that's what I would be talking about, that I would be preaching to the converted. We all know it's wrong to steal, yeah? We do? That's good, because I'm not talking about stealing money. Whether it's fiddling your expenses, whether it's taking physically from somebody else, we know that it is wrong, because we are people with some morals. So I thought what I'd do, and the pastor was away this week, so I couldn't ask him, so I just did it. So I thought what I'd do, I'd just check out to see what Jesus said about the commandments. There we go. So here are the Ten Commandments. Oh yeah, there I am, number 7. So, in Matthew 22, we read that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees with his very wise words. So the Pharisees got together, and one of them, who was an expert in the law, was put forward, and he asked Jesus this, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if you check out those words from Jesus, if you follow them, if you act them out, then none of us would have any problems whatsoever with any of these Ten Commandments. In fact, if you read through the first 5 books of the Bible, which is in Jewish terms is called the Torah, there are 613 laws that the Israelites had to follow. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, you wouldn't have a problem with any of those. So why do we have a problem? So I thought, that could be it. That could be the end of my sermon. That means I could have more time on the beach when we were on holiday just to sit and relax. And some of you were going, yeah, that's fantastic. The music group were going, oh my word, we haven't got any more songs. So I thought I'd check that out with God. And he said, well, no, actually, what I want you to do is talk about stealing from a different perspective. And I believe that some of you will be challenged by the message that I've got this morning. Some of you will be encouraged, I hope. And if you're really lucky, you'll be challenged and encouraged. And the passage that I'm really going to preach on today is, if I can press the button in the right way. There you go. Under the legs worked. Is Matthew 25:14-30. In the old days, this was called the parable of the talents. In your Bible now, it might say the parable of the bags of gold. I think that's in the NIV. In the NLT, it calls it the parable of the three servants. But I want to read this. I've got the NLT version here. You will notice, by the way, that in the NLT, it calls bags of silver, calls them bags of silver. In the NIV, it says bags of gold. I did do some research to see what the one talent was equivalent to, and one scholar said he thinks in today's money, it's about $1 million, so about £750,000, so 2 or 3 years' salary or something like that. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're listening. That was a test. We all know it's four years' salary. Okay, let's read this passage, please. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money with them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. I think I might just nod to you, Sue. It's not working. Thanks. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, in harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. For those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Now throw that useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. I love that parable, but it is, when you read it and read it again, it's quite powerful, and there's some quite harsh words that Jesus says in there. So the question this morning is, so what has God given you? But probably before we look at that, maybe I need to remind you maybe of 2 questions that have been asked previously in this series, or previously that you've heard before. So do you believe that all things come from God? That's one thing that you need to consider. Do you believe that all things come from God? And what is your image of God? I think Alan or Andy spoke on what your image of God is. You know, must have been Alan. Disappointed that your lovely wife's not here today, because she would love this next bit. Okay, she would love this next bit, because I want to show you 2 images of football players who believe that everything they have comes from God. This is the first one. It's a chap called Alisson, girl's name, but never mind that. He plays for this little team in the northwest of England called Liverpool. And this is him immediately after Liverpool had won the Champions League this year. And this hurts me to put this up, I tell you. That's why I was hoping that Hazel was here, because she would love this picture. So Alisson, after winning the Champions League with Liverpool as their goalkeeper, The first thing he did was pull his shirt off to show a cross equals heart, God equals love. And I suppose it's probably fairly easy to give glory to God when things go well, when you've won the big prize. This guy on the other side played in the same game. He played for Spurs. And look at his reaction when he lost probably the biggest game of his life. Still giving glory to God. Still wanting to use the gift that he's been given as a footballer to glory God, bring glory to God. Got another picture, and I put this one in late because this took a lot of mental courage to put this one in. This is the manager of Liverpool Football Club, and this is what Jurgen Klopp said in an interview. He said, "There is nothing so important to me that I cannot bear to lose it, and that is why I find I have no reason to fear. But the most important point is that this lust for life is actually connected to my faith. I am a Christian, and so I see life as a gift, should be enjoyed sensibly." Wow, even for a Liverpool manager, that's pretty good. So what has God given you? In the passage it said he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags to another, and 1 to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. In Romans 12, Paul says that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So I think the first point that I want to make really is that God treats us as individuals. God treats us as individuals. We're not copycats of each other. God thinks that you're pretty special. When he made you, he only made one of you. You are unique, with a unique makeup, a unique set of gifts and abilities. Have a look around. There's no one like you. There is no one like you. When God made you, he broke the mold, and he didn't do it because you were a mistake. He did it because he loves you and that you are unique. Do you know, even identical twins are unique. I don't know if you remember the 2 girls from Sports Reach, Ruth and Sarah, that were here a few months ago. They are so identical that even their father makes a mistake sometimes and calls the wrong one by name. But even they are unique. If you look carefully, one of them is left-handed and one is right-handed. They have different attributes as their personalities. They're now taking different routes in their careers. God not only knows each of them, he's given them each a different set of gifts and abilities, and they are identical. God has not only given you gifts, but he makes sure that you have the right gifts for your personality and also the ability to use them. He gives gifts according to your ability. He knows you so well. So I want to have a look at some of the gifts that Paul lists in Romans 12. And he says, if you have the gift of prophesying, then prophesy. If you have the gift of serving, then serve. If you have the gift of teaching, then teach. If you have the gift to encourage, then give encouragement. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If your gift is to lead, lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Important thing here, when Paul's listing these gifts, and these are all gifts for the church, with every gift there is an action. I don't know if you noticed that. A gift on its own is useless. But when Paul talks about these gifts, he tells you how to do it. So he says that every gift you have, there has to be an action. Now, when I preached for the first time in my life about 30 years ago, at an evening service in Ecton Brook, when there was about 12 people and a dog there, I think, I am very confident to say that I was not as good a preacher as I am today. That doesn't mean to say that I'm brilliant now. But because I've worked at it, because I've exercised the small gift that God gave me when I've had the opportunity, my gift has grown and got better. And hopefully today you are receiving some sort of blessing from that gift that God has given me and that I'm hopefully using well. But if I take a scale instead of 1 to 5, if I take a scale of 1 to 100, in those early days I was probably 2, 3, 4 maybe, I don't know. Today, hopefully I'm somewhere in the 30s. If I push it on a good day, maybe in the 40s. But there are some preachers that I really like to listen to on the radio or on YouTube, and I'll name three: Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll, and Rabbi Zacharias are three that I really like to listen to. Completely different style of preaching to the way I preach, but I really love listening to them. And if I looked at those three on the same scale, they would be in the high 90s at least. So, if those guys are in the high 90s and I'm languishing in the third or fourth division, in the 30s or 40s, why should I bother? There's no need, surely. Why should I bother using the gift that God's given me? Because them and thousands of other people are so much better at preaching than I am. But God's given me the gift that I can use for my own ability. But we'll come on to that later. Let's have a look at some other gifts. Sport, we saw those footballers using sport as a gift to honor God and glorify God. Hospitality, visiting, friendship, kids' work, music, technology, setting up, breaking down, praying, all of those are things that we can use in our church life, if you like. But these gifting, your gifting in these areas can and should be used for the glory of God, for the building up, the strengthening and expansion of His kingdom. You know, thank God that we have Elaine and Daphne and where's Emma? Amanda. And they turn up week in, week out, and serve us and lead us in worship. Thank God that when Andy Bransby was here, he was a loyal servant of God with his musical gift. You know, has God furnished you with a gift for music that you're keeping hidden and not using for God's glory? How about your gift of hospitality? If you've got a home, you can be hospitable. Did you know that inviting somebody around for a cup of tea and a chat can be a huge blessing to somebody? It doesn't have to be some lavish haute cuisine meal. You know, inviting somebody around for a cup of tea and a biscuit can be a great blessing to somebody and can be you using your gift. Did you know that praying is a gift? This is a gift that everybody has been given, whether you know it, whether you like it or not. And I wonder how you're using that. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is the greatest gift that we've been given. I wonder if you've questioned whether or not, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? That is a great gift. It is a great gift. It's one that I've accepted and embraced. And I wouldn't say everything's been rosy since then, but it's my gift is of salvation is secure. Maybe your gifting is not listed on this slide, or you don't recognize that you're gifted in any of these areas, because let's face it, there are many, many areas where you can be gifted in. This week I'm going to encourage the house groups to look at your individual gifts and see how you can identify those, maybe strengthen them, maybe exercise them, maybe develop them. So if you're not in a house group and you think this would be a good week to try it out. There's three on a Wednesday, two on a Thursday. If you're not in a house group, try it out this week. Have a look. See what your gifting is. See where you can exercise your gift for the extension of God's kingdom. I can confirm that God delights in you using your gift for His glory. But, and here's a big but, Satan is not too keen. In fact, he's pretty annoyed when you start using your gift for the extension of God's kingdom. I want to tell you a story. I suppose you're wondering why that £10 note and the paella is up there. I want to tell you a story about a £10 note and a paella. It's not a parable. You won't find it in the Bible. But Sue and I used to live, before we moved to Hanging Houghton, we used to live in a really nice house in Great Houghton, the other side of the town. And one of the gifts that we had, we believe, is hospitality. And we used to have all sorts of people round, and we would introduce different groups of people to each other. And we thought we were doing a pretty good job, to be honest with you. And after one of these dinner parties that we held, we had some really strange, disparaging remarks, really quite hurtful, to be honest with you. And, you know, we were being accused of showing off, of trying to ram our nice house down the throats of other people that perhaps didn't have such a nice house. And it hurt. It really did. And we pretty much closed our gift down. Probably we could have been likened to the guy with one bag of silver. And we dug a hole in the ground and we said, let's bury it, because, to be honest, that's safer that way. Perhaps we're not going to get hurt so much. One day in the letter, in the post, remember the post? When it wasn't just circulars? We had a letter with a £10 note in it from the Manor House. I think most of you know the Manor House. And in it, they were having a fundraising drive, and they decided that they would send out £10 to everybody that was supporting the Manor House. And in it was a letter saying, this is, you know, they were likening it to the parable of the talents, and they said, we want you to consider if you can use this £10 to create more finances and then send us what you've made. If you really need the £10, then put it in your bank and hope you're blessed with it. So the first thing we thought when we talked about it was we could have a dinner. We could hold a big dinner party and that would be great. But we went, wouldn't it be easier just to put another tenner in the envelope and send it back? Anyway, John, who runs the Manor House, is a friend of ours. And we had this conversation with him and he was very, very encouraging. Cut a long story short, we decided we'd hold a Spanish evening. And we had about 25 people there, and John came and gave a talk on the Manor House. And everybody, we had a donations jar. We didn't charge anybody any money. We put a donations jar, and at the end of the evening, we counted it up. We'd multiplied the £10 by about 30 times, which is really quite impressive. Pilar was really good as well, by the way. Sangria was also quite good. But more importantly, we had revitalized our gifting. You know, God delights in us using our gifts. God continues to bless and grow our gifting, I believe. He gave us a new house over here, and when we put plans together to change the house and build an extension, we did it with the intention and the foresight that our house would be used as part of our gifting. Because we believe that God gave us that house, and that that house should be used for his glory. So if I totted it up this year, I try to add up just for my own interest, really, for this talk, to see how many, if you call it, incidents of hospitality, and you know, maybe from a cup of tea to a night's bed and breakfast, and or whatever, you know, somewhere in between. And we think this year probably will be around about 300, which is not for our glory. This is for the glory of God, for his kingdom, not ours. And God delights in using our gifts. God delights when you use your gift. And you know what? I hope that's inspirational for you. There is no excuse for not using the gifts that God has given you. Press it once again, please, Sue. Have a look at Beethoven. I don't know if you know that Beethoven was deaf. Everybody told him he would never be a musician just because he was deaf, but he didn't listen. Do Not Steal was the title, if you'd forgotten, okay? Because I nearly did when I got to this far, and I thought, what was I supposed to be talking about? Do Not Steal. So who are you stealing from? That's the real question that I want to pose to you today. Who are you stealing from if you hide the gift that God has given you in the ground and do not use it? Number one, and this is the scary one, that's why I put it number one, you are stealing from God. You are stealing from God. God has given you a gift. God has given you a gift. He's given you many gifts, actually. But if you don't use that gift, you are stealing from him, because he wants you to be able to use that gift. He desires that gift to come back with more than interest, actually. If you look at the gift of salvation, God has given his all for your salvation. If you have not accepted it, you're stealing that from him. Secondly, you're stealing from others. If your gift is to encourage somebody, and God says, give that person some encouragement, and you don't, one, you've stolen from God. The second, you've stolen from that person who God wants you to encourage. What effect could that have on that person? If God wants you to encourage, then encourage. Be encouraging. If God wants you to be hospitable, be hospitable. Many, many people can be affected by your burying your gift in the ground. And thirdly, you're stealing from yourself because God wants to bless you more than he's already blessed you. In the parable, it says that the master wants to give more to those who have used it well. Got one last scripture before I finish, and this is a real warning. Comes in Luke 13, and Jesus told this very small parable. He said, a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look at this fruit, coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? That's quite stern. And if you look at the back of the parable of the talents, Jesus is quite harsh on the guy who hid his talents and was without fruit. So let's throw that away. Finally, what are you going to do with the gifts that God has entrusted to you? Are you going to do just nothing? Because it's impossible, isn't it? Nigel, you don't know the situation I'm in. You don't know the hassle that somebody has given me. You don't know where I am. It's impossible to act out on it because I'm too scared, whatever the situation. Or are you just going to do it? Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Even a fruitless fig tree can be full of fruit. Nothing is impossible for God. Now, this is my final bit, okay? When I go to meet my Maker, this is what I want to hear when I get there. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. That's what I desire to hear when I finally go to meet my Maker. I hope that I can stand up knowing that that is what Jesus is going to say to me. Friends, I encourage you. I encourage you this week to search out what gifts you have put to one side for whatever reason. And take the dust off them. Dig them back up out of the ground. And let's start using them for the glory of his kingdom. For the extension of his kingdom, not ours. I hope God blesses that word to you this morning. Amen.